there's still a lot of conversation around Peyton Thorne's comments after the Georgia game, and rightfully so.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five. Happy Tuesday. We are ready to dive in, talk a little bit more about Peyton Thorne's comments after the game. There's still a lot of conversations around some of the things he said towards the end of his comments. And then overall, the disconnect that there seems to be that Hughes addressed multiple times now after the game and at a quarterback club luncheon type scenario. How do we fix the disconnect? I think that seems to be the big theme of this week. Let's talk about what that disconnect is and how you fix it, and should you still roll with Thorne? But before we get started, we got to give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code NEXTROUND for a double up deposit bonus. Use that code, put in $100. They're going to give you another $100 back on top of it to play with. So you could hit that college sports book is just crazy. They've got all kinds of lines, all kind of, you know, different scenarios that you can bet. First half, second half, live betting, NFL, little bit of everything. You name the sport, and there's a line for it that you can bet on there at MyBookie. Just don't forget to use that coupon for the double up deposit bonus and have some fun. All right, so after the game, we maybe have briefly talked about it in a couple of other shows, but I don't think we've necessarily dove into it here yet. But after the game, the way it typically goes is obviously you get reporters that ask some players questions, and you get reporters that ask the coaches questions at the post-game press conference. I don't exactly know 100% the timing of that. So it feels like typically the coach meets with the team and then after the game, and then the coach goes into a press conference. And then I don't know if it's after the press conference, do they come in and get the players, but it's not necessarily coinciding all the time. Like, it's not like the coach is being interviewed, because a lot of the same reporters that are in the coaches post-game press conference are in the players' press-game conference, not post-game conference, the player interviews after the game as well. It's a lot of the same guys. So Hugh does his thing, talks about the game, and then they go interview some of the players. And Peyton Thorne has some interesting comments, and I think I'm going to play it, and then we're going to break it down. The most interesting part is the little piece at the end.
Well, we're running the run play. I had an option to throw it to, and the look that I got, you know, we had a guy that, I needed to handle and moved back out of his original position and ran the play. I think it was number 11, came off the edge hard, and that's the guy I was reading. And I don't want to get into too much detail on that. I guess I could tell you the whole thing, but I don't think so.
The last part of that is what's really sparking the conversation. I could tell you the whole thing, but I probably shouldn't. And I think that's what, you know, everybody, the wheels are turning. Well, what does that mean? Is he saying that what Hugh Freeze is saying is a lie? I could tell you the whole story, but I'm not. Is he saying that there's more issues than, you know, about the particular play? What exactly is he saying? And I think that's a great question. What I personally think is, you know, last week he talked about the interception during the Oklahoma game on the next round. By the way, this clip was from the next round, so definitely give them a shout out. He was asked about that last play last week on the next round, and it was obviously the interception to Oklahoma and what he saw. And I think this speaks a lot to the way Hugh calls him a thinker, and that he knows a lot of football, because he can tell you every single thing and the reason why he chose to do every single thing that he did in that particular play. But the problem is the way he described the play last week, basically, it says two things to me. Number one, he talked about, you know, his read, and he talked about the coverage, and he talked about what he was looking for. And he basically said that if they ran that play 10 times, he would make the same decision 10 times, which I assume means he would be tricked by the defense 10 times and throw 10 interceptions on that same play. If I'm a coach and I hear that, I'm a little bit aggravated. I'm going to be a little bit concerned, because it's like, hey, so it's if the defense just tricks you, if the defense just gives you a fake look and drops in the coverage, you're just telling me that that's the only key. You're telling me basically that's the only information that you're absorbing, and it would yield a turnover. So it seemed like to me maybe he was going into one of those explanations again. He was going into one of those explanations again and stopped himself. I'm going to tell you exactly why I did what I did. And another thing is, it almost makes it to where you're explaining to why the play wouldn't work. That's almost kind of what it seems like you're doing. Maybe not on purpose, but it seems like you're telling me all of the reads, and my reads, like, this is speaking about last week, the play that was called, all of my reads, everything I'm supposed to go to, yielded an interception. Therefore, maybe it wasn't my fault, I guess. I think that's maybe the way it came off a little bit last week. And then he starts to kind of go into a similar thing this week, which it sounds like he's just diagnosing the play. He's telling you what he's looking at. And then when it gets to the part where it's, you know, you can really go in depth with everything that happened, he says, nah, I don't think I should do that. I don't think I should do that again. I think that's probably more so. That's probably more so what was happening than the other two scenarios. But all in all, there's a lot of conversation around that. And I want to look at the actual play. Okay. When we talk about disconnect, we talk about the play, Hugh saying the play's going awry. Let's just look at the way this thing was set up. So it's, you know, a lot of people see the actual play and they don't really look at how the actual play started. Okay. So the play actually started like this. Okay. Jarquez is actually lined up behind Peyton, which is very common. He doesn't really run it out of that formation, run it from there very often. So more than likely he's back here for Peyton to get a look, to get a scope of, you know, what's going on. But you can look to the left and it almost looks like we have, you know, Hugh said to dive left, and you look to the left and you look like you have to get 1 yard. It looks like you have 3-on-2 right there. You have Luke Deal, Percy Lewis, Braden Joyner, and those two defensive linemen. You do have the linebacker back there, but again, you're only trying to get 1 yard. You're not trying to get a huge gain right here. Well, so from here, Peyton checks and moves Jarquez to here. And you can see that you seem to still have a little bit of an edge. You even got Rivaldo Fairweather over there that could possibly come in and help. And if you still dive from here, if you still dive left from here, I think you're fine. I understand you have your outside linebacker up top, but the way this play would hit if it's a dive left is so fast, and it's very, very common in a short yardage position to leave the outside defender that's opposite the direction that you're running unblocked, because it kind of gives you an extra blocker. He would have had to make, and he could have, he would have had to make a really good play to be able to make this play in the backfield. And then there's people that are saying, oh, look, the guy was on Jarquez before he could really even get the handoff. That's because Jarquez was not running a dive left at this point in time. Whatever Peyton called, it looks like Jarquez is trying to be a lead blocker, which is that'd be an interesting play, because there's just not a lot of forward momentum to get that 1 yard. But if you look to the left, you know, the play was dive left, and he had to get to the 45 yard line right there. It looks like there's multiple pathways on the left that he could have easily gotten the first down. So it goes back to, are we overthinking scenarios sometimes, even if schematically that read makes sense because there's an outside unblocked defender. You don't have to make that huge play right there. You don't have to go for 7 or 8 yards. You don't have to go for a touchdown there. And honestly, if you'd have gone with the dive left, you might have had a touchdown. I mean, you see the whole, once again, I mean, the blocking is set up. Look at one more time. The blocking is set up to the left. So it just kind of, the whole scenario is interesting. The disconnect is where I want to dive into next. I want to talk about the disconnect and how you fix that. And I think it's something that can be, especially in this type scenario, I think it's something that can be easily fixed. And I think it's something that will be easily fixed. But before we do that, we got to give a shout out to our boy Ford Stokes with retirement results presented by Active Wealth Management. Go to retirementresults.com/plan and get you a free portfolio analysis custom made by Ford Stokes himself. This isn't a PowerPoint presentation that comes off of a website. This is Ford Stokes diving in, making sure that you're not paying fees that you shouldn't be paying, that you're protected from the IRS everywhere you need to be protected. You're taking advantage of products that you need to be taking advantage of that maybe Ford only has access to that you didn't. And then overall, just make sure that your strategy makes sense, that you're going to be able to close that gap. Your money's going to be able to take you where you need to be. Ford Stokes is the guy to do it, and you should definitely give him a shout. Tell him War Eagle. Tell him we sent you. Ford Stokes with the retirement results presented by Active Wealth. So where does the disconnect come from? Okay. Now, I can only tell you that this is a possible story. I've asked a lot of people around about where does this disconnect type, where does something like this come from? And basically, what I was told is, again, I'm going to try to be as vague as possible, but give you as much detail as possible at the same time. During practice, when they're doing installs this past week, I think Thorne may have expressed that when you're putting in this dive left, you're putting in this dive play, that he's worried about that outside defender. And I can understand that. Okay. So he's a little bit concerned about that outside defender being able to blow that play up. And he voiced his opinion to, I don't know which assistant it was, but to an assistant. And, you know, I think it died there, though. I don't think it ever goes to Hugh Freeze. I don't think it ever gets back to the head coach. And that's fine. Like, I mean, I can remember in high school or whenever you're playing, you're like, man, I just don't know about this play. But the thing is if it doesn't, if you don't address it with the coach and the coach doesn't make the coach doesn't address it, and there's no chance to really go back over it together, you still got to run the play. Like, you still have to run what is called. You can't just go rogue and say, well, I told so-and-so. You can't go rogue and say, well, I had this conversation with so-and-so. So I thought that I had the go ahead to make that audible at that point in time. And I just don't think that's the disconnect here. That's something that is in Peyton's mind about the play that's not being relayed, that's not being talked about, communicated with Hugh Freeze. So that's something that's got to be fixed. That's something that, and you noticed Hugh said it in the post-game conference, and he also said it at the Birmingham and probably the Mobile quarterback club. I think that's what he did yesterday. He did, you know, it's a bye week. We're doing some, you know, doing the small things that you have to do to build a program, the marketing piece of it, the recruiting piece of it, talking with coaches, talking with alumni, things like that, that you have to do. Especially when you're 2-4 and you're still trying to rally the troops and you're trying to do what you've got to do off the field to make it happen. He said both times the disconnect can't happen. And we've got to coach better so that there is no disconnect. We've got to coach better so that there is no option in that scenario. Basically reiterating the fact that there was no read. He called that play with his understanding. There is no other option off that play. It's a dive left, and that's it. So, again, he called Thorne a thinker twice, and I don't think that is I don't think that's a bad thing. I think Thorne could tell you every single thing about every single play. I think he's very intelligent. I think most of the time he makes the right decisions. I think he does. I mean, if you look at it, there's so many different decisions that have to be made every single play. I would say he probably bats close to 90%, but that 10% have been crucial. That 10% have been that 10% has been like game changing, game altering. And not to say that if Auburn gets that first down, they win. They were still down 11 points. It was the first play of the fourth quarter. It was on your own for 39 or 44. He had to either get to the 40 or he had to get to the 45 to get the first down. So it was on your side of the field early in the fourth quarter, as early in the fourth quarter as you possibly could be. But those type decisions, again, I'm not saying that if he gets that, we win the game. But those type decisions are killer. They're the ones that are killer. So Hugh's addressed it. He's addressed it multiple times. We talked about it yesterday. He's put it on himself. He explained the situation and then said, I can't let that happen, basically, and I'm not going to let that happen. That's something that's an easy thing to fix, in my opinion. That's something that you say, hey, Thorne, here's the deal. I call the play and you run the play. If you see something about the play, you are welcome to come talk to me. But there is no variation. There is no deviation from the script unless – you communicate it to me and then I sign off on it and we install it that way. You can't just see something in practice and take it on a whim that you can change it, because you could see Jarquez Hunter had no idea what was going on because he knew the play. The offensive line had no idea what's going on because they knew the play, and they all were running what was supposed to be run. And then once it was altered, there wasn't a whole lot you could do at that point in time. Should have called a timeout. You hate to call a timeout. If you call a timeout out of a quarter change, we're going to have to talk about that for a week, especially if Auburn, even if they get the first down and don't win or whatever, calling a timeout out of a quarter change, that would be something that everybody's talking about and railing on all week. So, but still, once he shifted Jarquez into a new spot and he's kind of talking to Jarquez and telling him what to do, and something looks fishy. I wish badly we could have called a timeout and got something fixed there. But this, to me, that disconnect they're talking about is something that's easy to fix. If it's the case, which the way it seems, you know, Hugh's steady. There was no read option. I mentioned a few times there was a guy on the barnauburn.com. His brother played for Hugh at Liberty, called him immediately and said, there's no read on that play. I have no idea what he's doing. That play does not have a read check on it. It is a dive left. So all those things considered, the disconnect can be remedied, I think, by just saying, look, if you see something, say something. But it's got to come through me, and we got to sign off on it, and we got to know, make sure everybody's on the same page, not just willy-nilly see something in practice and take the liberties to draw the play up in the sand as the game goes on and make it, make your decision. Even if it's schematically maybe a correct decision, we still got to be all on the same page. That should be easy to fix. And again, I don't see Thorne as just this huge rogue player that goes a cowboy that wants to go run his own things. I think he's really thinking about what's the best play here. But sometimes you can overthink it. And I think that was one of those situations that we're just thinking a little bit too much. Sometimes, just run the play. Just run the play. Hey, if it doesn't get it, it's not on you. It's on the coaches. So – again, I think that's a disconnect that can be fixed very easily. I say all that to say this. I know people say, well, if Thorne's going rogue, how can you continue to play him? If Thorne does this, how can you continue to play him? Look, the statistics don't lie, okay? He is a much better quarterback this year overall, okay? In playing 4.5 games, he's still in the top half. I think he's number 6 in yards per game, playing 4.5 games in the SEC. That's winning. That can get you – that can win you football games. He's thrown 10 touchdowns. I think that's 4th or 5th in the SEC. That can win you football games. He is getting the ball. He's moving the ball down the field. He is sacrificing his body. He is playing very, very tough. Tough runs. Even when you're in the face of pressure, he's able to, you know, make some things happen. He's even been able to make some pretty nice throws on the run. Like he's done, I think he's doing a lot of the right things. You just got to fix the crucial errors. I know people want to go into the turnovers. 6 interceptions. That's tough. But if you're just going to look at those 6 interceptions as just 6 interceptions and not really dive in, and you got 2 of them that are off the hands of the wide receiver that are easily catchable, they're routine, that every wide receiver that wants to be an NFL wide receiver will make that play 10 times out of 10. You got 2 off the wide receiver's hands. You've got 1 at the end of a game where everyone's at the very last play of the game where everyone has said, even that said wide receiver that he's throwing to said he ran the wrong route. So you've got out of six interceptions, you've got 3 max that you can say were just poor decisions. And then the others you can have a conversation around. So I think he's playing winning football from a statistical standpoint. You just got to get over these crucial errors. And I think, again, the numbers have to come to our side eventually. Like the bad luck, that type stuff just has to go in Auburn's direction eventually. It can't just continue to pile on. So I do think Thorne gives you the best chance to win. I think if you have the offensive output of the second half of Arkansas, the Oklahoma game, the Georgia game, if you have that type of offensive output over the next stretch of games, you're going to be very competitive and you're probably going to be able to win, you know, I would say multiple of this next 3-game stretch at Missouri, at Kentucky, and then Vanderbilt at home. So I do think that I still think Thorne gives you the best chance to win. I think it's the most fair thing to be able to put a guy out there that can get the ball in the receiver's hands. He can feed KLS. He can get it to Cam Coleman. He can run the offense. And you just got to stick with him and close the disconnect. You got to connect the disconnect. You got to figure out how to erase those game killer disconnect situations. You just got to fix those, and I think you got something to work with. So let's see what happens. Guys, you need to join the barn, auburn.com. You'd have had a lot of this story already that we talked about, and it's only $1 for your first month, and then it's $9.95 after that. Great investment. If you hate it, you're only out $1. I think you're going to love it, though. You'll love the conversation, love the community. It's a lot of fun. You can follow me on Twitter at @the_charlie_5. If you like this video, like it. Hit the likes. We get like 3,000 views, and we'll have like 150 likes. Let's try to get to let's go over 200 likes on this video. So if you see the video, just go ahead and smash that like button. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. And you know we're going to be back every single day, just about daggum near, I guess it is 7 days a week right now. So you're going to have some kind of content during football season 7 days a week. We really appreciate it. And we'll catch you next time. It's another episode of the Todd Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening and drive home safely.